Got it. Here we go on a Friday. Sherry sits in for Tom. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate for doing that. And at 5:30, the know-it-all quiz. Get a chance to come on the air. And win what, Jacob?
Another Cairo Radio prize pack.
Ah, yes. Wow. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Bucky's been around for 50 years, and they've got 16 locations. Sherry, I ask you, if you had a car and is breaking down or not running right, where would you take it?
I'd take it to Bucky's.
Bucky's. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Diving into the next... is refreshing. I went in today and Dougie stood there and watched, as he always does. And at first I thought he likes watching because he wants to make sure I'm not going to get hurt. Now I think this 66-year-old guy is kind of really enjoying me in my underwear.
Uh-oh.
Am I the only one?
This is a development.
Who else? Anybody else? Huh? Anybody else? I know. New development.
Yeah.
I'm sure. By the way, Jacob, thickens. I've noticed. Uh-huh. I don't know why this is, but you can now get Cairo Radio 97.3 on your radio in your car in Central Washington. It used to be that the signal was not that strong. Have they jacked up the signal that I'm out here now, or does it have to do with trees, or is it COVID? Do you know why?
No one has mentioned anything to me, but it's certainly a possibility.
It's quite disturbing.
Yes, it's the 5G waves. Yeah, that must be what it is.
That's what it is. Got it. Romney said, this would be Mitt Romney, had said that, you know what? Well, actually, we've had sound.
Oh, yeah, here he is. Here comes your former governor. Here comes your former presidential candidate. Here comes your senator.
Will President Trump continue to play a role in my party? I'm sure he will. He has by far the largest voice and a big impact in my party. I don't know about his family members, whether they intend to do that. But I expect he will continue playing a role. I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not. But if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination.
You think he would win the nomination?
Oh, I think he'd win the nomination if he runs. I mean, a lot can happen between now and 2024. So, and I'm not great at predicting. I subscribe to Yogi Berra's philosophy in that regard. He said, I don't like predicting, particularly if the future's involved. So, I don't really know what'll happen there. But I look at the poll.
Mitt, just a little comment here. After a big joke like that, pause, right, Sherry?
Right.
Let the laughter fill the room. Get people get their air, but you know, a lot of them, you know, getting back up off their knees and then keep going.
Polls and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
Yeah. And finally, with the big question is he tried to filibuster all the way through. But then they're like, well, whoa, wait before you leave. Will you support him?
Campaign against him?
I would not be voting for President Trump again. I haven't voted for him in the past, and I would probably be getting behind somebody who I thought more represented the tiny wing of the Republican Party that I represent.
Okay. Are you surprised in the recent poll that like 70% of Republicans are still in support of Donald Trump?
No, I'm not surprised at all. Are you?
No, I'm not. I think they feel vindicated by the sham impeachment that occurred, and I think also that the pendulum is swinging, always swinging, and you see what you have in the White House now, and you see the direction that things are going now, so then people go, whoa, we got to stop that. Well, what can we do? So they pick up the bat phone, and they get Donald Trump back in there again. And Donald Trump, now, whether he is healthy enough, he'll be 78, I think, if he decides to run again, and he is a better counterpuncher than he is a puncher. And then he will always be the one that can take shots at. It's much easier for him to pound away at Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton when he was sort of the guy coming from the outside. As the outsider, he can say, hey, listen, I'm not part of this mess. He can come back in again and go, hey, I left for a while. So technically I wasn't part of that mess. So here I come again. I'm an outsider all over again.
Yes, and I've come to save the day. They did a Politico poll, and it's here's how the numbers break out. 57% of Republican voters say they want Trump to play a major role in the election. 80% viewed him favorably, and 53% mm-hmm. said they would support him in 2024. So, you know, everybody that was on board with Trump still is, but it's still really early in the game, don't you think? I mean, 2024 yes. is a way off, ways off. I mean, it's too soon, you know.
Well, the only reason they're talking about it now is because on Sunday, CPAC, which is this big conservative convention that goes on, I went there for the first time they had it, or second or third year when I was living in Washington, D.C. And man, it is the red meters. I mean, you get the guys that have got the giant red suspenders and the bellies that you just want to rub clockwise and then counterclockwise. Get those guys. And then you have the guys that have the blue blazers on with the glasses, and they're under the age of like 22, and they think it's really cool that they're conservatives. There's those guys. And then you got the other guys that have the blue blazer that's misbuttoned, and their shoulders are covered in 3.5 inches of just great skiing dandruff powder. And they're everybody's walking around. They got booklets and people are selling stuff. And Sunday night, I think it's Sunday night, Donald Trump comes on stage with an unlimited amount of time. First time he did this in 2012, they only gave him 5 minutes. But he is going to bring down the house and probably go for 2 hours. What do they expect him to talk about?
Well, the Wall Street Journal had an opinion piece, and they said he could go in two different directions. He could devote his speech to the anger over the election, you know, complain about Mitch McConnell and other Republicans that haven't supported him, how the election was stolen. He could go down that track if he wanted to. Or he could compare and contrast his agenda versus Biden's current agenda with immigration and the COVID vaccine and all of these other things. And it really depends on how he wants to move forward. And mm-hmm. I say, you know, really, it's going to depend on knowing your audience. I mean, if you come up with this kinder, gentler Trump, is that really what the audience wants to hear? I don't think so. I think they're still angry. I think they want to hear the old Trump. They miss him. They want him back.
My recommendation would be don't start with the steal thing. Don't talk about it was stolen from you. Let that go. Okay,
right.
You lost. At least show some sort of growth and blast away the stuff that's happening in there now. The main thing is this: 4 years from now, if Donald Trump is even viable as a human being, and I mean that in the sense if he's physically able to hold 4 years at the party, what will the economy be like? If the economy is roaring along, or at least clunking along at a pretty good rate, people will be like, yeah, okay, I'm all right with this, I'm all right with that. As long as you have a job, people still vote with their pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
do you vote every 4 years, or do you vote every 2 years? Are you a regular voter?
I'm a regular voter, but I don't vote in the primaries because I'm a registered independent.
Ah, okay. Do you have friends that you have lost because of political positions that you've taken?
No, I do not. I do not. My husband did, but I have not.
Your husband sounds like a communist.
Bingo. No, he's not. No, but okay. He's very opinionated about politics, and he's not afraid to share his opinions. And so I think sometimes, you know, we live in this, you know, horrible environment now where people take it so seriously and take it so personally that friends are lost, family members. I have friends who won't speak to their families because they voted for Trump. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't quite get that either, but I do understand that what has happened is politics is downstream to culture. Culture and politics now are all just sort of a big bouillabaisse or a swamp, and the stuff on top is the things that people respond to. The fact that people can express ideas with about the same amount of thought that a monkey uses before flinging its poo at you is about the same amount of concept and thought and context that people use to express opinions in 140 some characters or on Facebook, where people blast away at each other back and forth, neighbors against neighbors. I don't quite understand what keeps people together or what will bring us together other than humanity and people not seeing one another as being from a party, but seeing people as just somebody else that I know, right? No red or blue, just someone else. The other day, there's a woman in a car. It's a Subaru. She's got two kids. The car goes off the road, nothing too serious, and it's off to the side there at this exit to go over to Clee Ellum to go to Safeway. And I see her, and I stop, and I jump out of the car, and I run over, and I help her and a bunch of other guys in pickup trucks, most of them Trump supporters and stuff. You could tell. We pull her out. But if you were to sort of judge, you'd say, eh, she looks like not a Trump person. And these guys look like Trump. You know what I'm talking about? I don't mean to make sweeping generalizations, but I am trying to do talk radio where I'm not held accountable for anything I say. Mm-hmm. I looked at her and I thought, I bet you dollars to donuts, she's probably somebody that is not, you know, part of the Trump crowd. But everybody that stopped saw somebody on the side of the road that needed help. And we all liked the idea that we could pull her out of there. Everybody had some sort of tool that we could use to drag her car up out of this ditch with. And I'm telling you, after she pulled out, everybody's waving and high-fiving each other. There's this wonderful sense of, like, it didn't matter. No politics at all. Nothing other than there's somebody that could use some help. And I happen to have a shovel and you've got this and we've got that. Nobody went ahead and said, you know, what party do you vote for? The fact that we are disconnected from one another, where we don't see each other on any kind of humane basis, causes, I think, the rift and the separation. Am I just way out of line on that?
No, I don't think you're way out of line at all. I think you're absolutely correct. And sometimes it does take something, you know, that shows our humanity, that brings us back together. But I will ask you this. Do you think that Trump is at all... Not, I don't necessarily want to say to blame, because he isn't the one, you know, getting all these opinions out there. It's the people that support him are. But are you bored now that he's gone? And do you think he has to be somewhat responsible for what has happened in terms of this great divide in this country?
I think everybody shares some responsibility, and I'm going to lay the blame at the media, Democrats, and Donald Trump. Trump likes to fight, and they certainly wanted to fight with him. 2015, he says he's going to run, and the media gives him billions of dollars worth of free advertising because they never think that he's going to win. And then, oh my God, he wins. I think they were shocked that he won, but they didn't want him. And the people that were inside Washington that are part of the system certainly didn't want him either. They did the best to possibly spy on him. Kevin Kleinsmith, by the way, is the FBI lawyer that made changes to emails, sent it to the FISA court. Tom would normally be interrupting me at this point, but they definitely did not want Donald Trump to be the president. And then they impeached him and tried to talk about impeaching. They hated him for 4 years. The media helped to light the fire that made the people that love Trump hate the media, hate anybody that hated Trump. And it really, the whole thing began to sort of tear apart, where you were either with him or against him. And when you're sitting there in your living room on your it's not a not leather, it's a leatherette, it eventually starts to come apart after a year because the cat pulls at it. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there and you're watching the media, and that's your guy, and the media is pooping all over your guy, then you hate the media. So this is where we are right now. If you listen to the fact that a couple of Democrats would like to be able to have big media stop presenting ideas that they find to be hateful. Here comes Kathy McMorris.
In all my time on this committee, there's never been a more obvious, direct attack on the First Amendment, despite what has been said. I want to be very clear. Condemning the January 6th attack and upholding truth and facts, it's a shared bipartisan goal. Unfortunately, that's not what this hearing is about. If the majority was really interested in a meaningful dialogue, you wouldn't schedule a hyper-partisan hearing to shame and blame. You wouldn't be sending letters pressuring private companies to block conservative media outlets. I'm not only disappointed in this hearing, I'm deeply troubled by it. Every journalist, from MSNBC and CNN to the New York Times, should be concerned by the majority's actions. And anyone who values free speech and a free press should be worried. Elected officials using their platform to pressure private companies to censure media outlets they disagree with? That sounds like actions from the Chinese Communist Party, not duly elected representatives of the United States Congress.
As your representative, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, she's speaking about the fact that they're having hearings and they're asking cable operators to not carry Fox, asking media organizations that provide the content to stop it. This is now part of the narrative, which is words cause hate. And hate and violence are combined with words, and words and actions are tearing this country apart. So stop it. Nothing will make people more upset to feel as if they're being censured.
Yeah, and one of the women that spoke in front of this was someone that whose dad died from COVID. And she said something to the effect of, you know, they didn't pull the trigger, but Fox News, I think is what she was referring to, didn't pull the trigger, but they drove the getaway car because he watched, she says, all of these things on Fox that discounted the severity of COVID, and therefore she blames them for that. This should be chilling no matter where you are on the political spectrum. The idea that people are going to try to decide what's best for you and how the media presents thing, this is a terrible, terrible idea. It really is. And I think everybody should be upset about this. It's crazy.
Well, in times of war or crisis, the government steps in and says, like in World War II, we need a communication and public censoring body. We need an act that protects this country. So what we're going to do is we are going to start to read things and stop things from being printed. And we have to make sure that the words that are being used in no way give anybody any idea that we are weak. So the government stepped in and started to take control of everything that was being printed because they didn't want to give the Germans any kind of hint that we might not be ready for this fight. So they stepped in a time of emergency and basically took over a bunch of controls. Now, if you can present to everybody, hey, we're in a state of emergency right now, we need the government to say to the organizations that carry Fox, stop carrying Fox, because they are disseminating just misinformation and it's tearing this country apart. Boy, if they can get that to happen, of course they got it to happen during the Hunter Biden story, Twitter and social media stopped that. The damage that will be done to this country if they are able to succeed. You talk about dividing. People will be so mad at that point.
Yeah.
Just up to here, I'm telling you, Sherry. Up to here.
Up to here.
Up to here. Oh, yeah. I hope that never comes to that. God, you're so nervous about the Jesse Jones that threw you off on that one.
I know. So this time it was the odometer.
Yeah, that's all right. By the way, Jesse's middle name is Odometer. So again, just deeply offended
Thank
by
you.
That.
I can't win.
Nicely done. That is Sherry screwing up Tom's work. Tom
Thank
will
you.
Be back in Monday. I assume probably Thank taking goodness. Over Sherry on Friday because of that calamity right there. By the way, Jacob, I noticed it's very subtle. Why aren't I giving those reads? Is something wrong with that? Is it you don't give it to me? You give it to Sherry? You trust her?
Oh, well, she's a professional voice actor, John.
Yeah, I thought Sherry did a great job. I think you're being too hard on her.
Hey, Mr. Work behind the board. Don't say anything.
Just saying. Speak the
That's
truth.
It's a long, cumbersome nickname I just gave you. All right. Let's see. I don't mean to dump on you, sure. You're doing great. Do Democrats just trust Joe Biden? Is this the stuff? Is this the sound from that guy from Fox? Is this what you pulled, Jacob?
Yes, I thought you asked me to do that, John. But we don't have to play it if you don't want to.
This is me acting like I do. Did you pull that, Jacob? I can't believe you. Hang on. This is, by the way, for those of you that really need a lot of red meat when it comes to a particular segment, you're like, I just missed Donald Trump, and I got to just really pound away at Joe Biden. So a little segment for you, a little red meat segment.
Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, four Pepsi, two cheap.
Cheeseburger, 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 two Pepsi, one cheap.
All right, here comes your cheeseburger. Here comes your red meat. This is Dan Bona, Bugaduga. How do you say his name?
Bongino.
Yeah. Danny Bongino was the New York City cop. He left that, and then he went into the Secret Service. First, he did training with the Secret Service. Then he got in the Secret Service. He was with George Bush in the second term, and a little bit of time, he was with Obama. And then he left in 2011. He ran for a bunch of very political offices, and he didn't win any of them. But Fox picked him up, and he's on. It's so funny because you immediately go, well, Secret Service. First of all, the word secret is in their name right off the top. So it's like this has got to be. When you hear it's coming from the Secret Service, you just assume it's got to be good stuff. So listen to
again,
this.
It gives me absolutely no joy in saying this, and I mean that.
By the way, when someone says that, it gives them a lot of joy in saying this. Say when we sort of goes, let me be honest with you.
As I know,
for the last 6 minutes, what have you been doing to me?
Yeah.
Let me lie to you. Let me lie right in your face right now. Right. Okay. It gives me no pleasure to say this. You ready?
Here you go, Dan. He is in real significant trouble, Joe Biden. He and listen to me.
Joe Biden.
Everyone around him, everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. This is the scandal that they're not telling you how bad his condition really is.
You're a former Secret Service agent. Are you saying?
See, Hannity comes in with that because that just bolsters it in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a former Secret Service agent.
Everyone knows it.
That's where you could do also other things that people would never. You're a former nursery school teacher. That's the respect on that, right? You're a former. What else would be good? Former. What else is like just, you know, the credibility for the occupation far exceeds the individual to the point where you can just skate on that for the rest of your. Oh, you're a former pope.
Oh, that's a really good one.
All right. Here we go.
That if we were to bring on Secret Service agents, they would confirm what you're saying. Is that I mean.
Now, what is he going to say to that? Well, I mean, no, but. Of course he's going to say yes. Here we go.
They call it the Secret Service for a reason. But I maintain a lot of contacts outside of even law enforcement. And I'm telling you from what I've heard from people in my network, everyone knows how bad it is.
Okay, so what he's referring to is Joe Biden's mental ability, that his acuity is beginning to drop, that he is tired and he's not thinking correctly or straight. And because of that, or at least Dan is on there saying, that is why these Democrats have written this letter regarding what, Sherry?
Three dozen House Democrats on Monday called on Biden to relinquish his sole authority to launch nuclear weapons. Now, they're saying this has nothing to do with Biden. They just think that it's important for people to have, I guess, a greater power share, that it's just too much for one president. But who knows?
Well, at the political football, right? Or no, the nuclear football is known. It's an attaché case with a bunch of combinations on it that I think only Tommy Lee Jones knows, or or Harrison Ford, or anybody that's playing the president. How did that thing come about? When did they first start up with the nuclear football?
So this started back in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it was with Kennedy, and he thought it was important to have the identity of the president, be protected. So this nuclear football, the official name is called the President's Emergency Satchel. And it's a sturdy aluminum frame. It's got a black leather case. It's just like a briefcase. It doesn't contain a red button for the nuclear war. But what it does is it confirms the president's identity to communicate with the National Military Command Center, which is at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. So it got its
name. So they asked for his password, like his first girlfriend or name of his first pet, that kind of thing?
Exactly. They have a code that they put in to make sure that they've got the right stuff. And it got its name from a nuclear war plan called the Dropkick, and they needed a football to go with the Dropkick.
So more than a dozen Democrats have said that they would like somebody else other than the president, or to have other people sort of sign up on this thing, like a Netflix account. You give the password to other people as well, so that just it's not reliant on one individual. Which, by the way, how insulting to Joe Biden if he knows he's been insulted, that this is previously this was the big thing. You're the commander in chief. You're the one. It falls on your shoulders to make the call to drop the bomb. Are they saying give some other people some options to kind of jump in here, like ordering a pizza?
It says vesting one person with this authority entails real risks. That's what it says. Past presidents have threatened to attack other countries with nuclear weapons or exhibited behavior that caused other officials to express concern about the president's judgment. So I guess what they're saying is they just want to make sure that that other people have some oversight on this. Again, they're saying it's not personal, but Dan Bongino would say not true.
But Dan's got connections.
There's your Dan's got connections. Yes, lots of connections outside of law enforcement.
Alrighty. All right, here we go. Sherry's in for Tom. You're going to get on the phone in just a little bit. We're going to play the know-it-all quiz. But first is the, does this story pretty much set up the whole thing, Jacob? I didn't get a chance to hear about Mrs. Poindexter and her sultry photos. Does this cover the whole thing?
Pretty much.
It does. All right, here we go. You ready? Hold on, everybody. And those you sexy moms out there, want to make $150,000 a month?
Who's going to want to come see, like, an average mom? Crystal Jackson, known as Mrs. Poindexter online, quickly learned hundreds of thousands of people want to see just that. She was shocked at how quickly her hot mom OnlyFans account grew.
We think of it as artistic or sultry and sexy and fun and playful, but certainly nothing hardcore.
Her husband, Chris, will sometimes take her photos, mostly doing what he calls normal mom stuff around the house, posing in sexy lingerie.
Then it started just taking off.
And now she says she makes...
Okay, sure. Just quick, because you're a woman in lingerie doing household chores. What is your favorite, like, lingerie thing to wear while, like, taking out the garbage or sticking your hand down into the garbage disposal to get like a cork out or something like that? What do you normally like to wear? Just to paint a picture for us.
I would say like a leather bustier would be something that I would wear for a normal mom activity, even though I'm not a mom.
Is it tying up in the back or the front?
No, it would be laced up in the front.
Okay.
It's up to $150,000 a month from her subscribers. Crystal says last summer, a group of moms from her kids' Catholic school, Sacred Heart Parish, started a crusade to get her three boys under the age of 12 kicked out of school. At one point, sending anonymous envelopes of her photos to the school.
All these women are talking about you.
And it worked. 2 weeks ago, Crystal was removed as the second grade room mom. And just last night, the Jacksons got an email from the Sacred Heart School principal stating her adult website is in direct conflict with the school's philosophy and they must find another school for her kids immediately.
They wanted my kids removed from school. And they were successful in the very end.
Crystal says her kids are devastated. Now some parents are saying these kids shouldn't be punished for their parents' decision. Crystal says she'll continue to post on her OnlyFans and enroll her kids in another school, one she says is less judgmental.
You're taking these innocent children and you're punishing them for something that you don't agree with.
Wow. She makes $150,000 a month. She could open her own school.
she could have a tutor 24 hours a day for all three kids. I mean, and $150,000 a month.
Yes. Her other online name is Second Grade Room Mom. That also has a lot of people that tune in for that. So apparently none of the women were upset by it. It is unfair to the kids, but I think it's probably just really disruptive for the school. Plus, they probably also are like, for those kids, the kids are going to be made fun of. The kids will have, right? So you're like, what?
What is she thinking? You know, plus the moms, I'm sorry, but if I don't know that I necessarily want my husband to be around Mrs. Poindexter in the room as the room mom, you know, I mean, everybody's probably checking her out. I mean, you know, the husbands are.
Husbands don't need any excuse to check out Mrs. Poindexter or second grade room mom. I just think it's amazing the amount of money. And also, I like the fact that the husband's coming up with ideas. How about you put on that sexy little, like, light blue one and put some construction paper down in the drawers.
Go get that ironing board. Come on.
Yeah, and I was just like, hey, the house has never been cleaner, and my wife's got this collection of lingerie. Yeah, because she's always just doing work around the house, you know?
Yeah, so, it's mom stuff. Normal mom stuff.
Yeah.
out on the ground scrubbing a pee stain out of the rug from the dog. All right, Tracy Taylor, that's a crazy story, isn't it? By the way, they have that $150,000 a month.
I can't even wrap my head around something like that.
I know.
Whatever. Yeah.